The opinions expressed in the Spirited Sports Podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to Spirited Sports. Tolly Kakaletris, Nick DiCicco, Elias Drakos, and many more break down the biggest moments, game-changing plays, and the stories behind the athletes. Whether you live for the thrill of victory, the hustle of the underdog, or just love a great sports conversation, you're in the right place. This is Spirited Sports.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? And welcome back to Spirited Sports, another in-studio session. And this is actually one of our last in-studio sessions for the year, actually. 2025 is approaching its end as we are coming near December. And the holiday season is right around the corner. Very, very exciting time. Our school semester is nearing its end as well.
Really well said there, Nick. Really looking forward to this episode, last episode in person until the break. But rest assured, we still will be recording during the break just from home. But the content will be continuing to be flowing out. Really looking forward to this episode. Tolly Kakaletris here alongside Nicholas DiCicco, Elias Drakos, and Anning Zhang. Let's have a great episode here. Nick, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, let's start in the NHL. Elias, you have some news about the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching this Flyers game the other day there. I heard about the news. The Flyers, they set a franchise record, 3 goals in 26 seconds in a win over the New Jersey Devils. I mean, that's like almost unheard of. Like, that's really difficult to do. 26 seconds, 3 goals. They got 2 goals from Forrester in 17 seconds and 1 from Michkov on their way to a 6-3 win. I'll give you a quick piece of history, then I'll pass it along. The Flyers scored 3 goals in the 4th fastest time in NHL history. Boston just needed 20 seconds when they scored 3 against Vancouver in 71. Washington in 1990, Chicago in 1952 scored 3 goals in 21 seconds. And the Montreal Maroons needed 24 seconds to score 3 against the Rangers in 1932. I know a lot of history to unpack there, but it shows you how often this really happens, which is not often at all.
Elias, yeah, perhaps a historian in another life. Nick.
Yeah, I think it just goes to the testament of how difficult this is to score 3 goals in such a short amount of time. And, you know, if you look at the Flyers and where they're at right now, there's a lot of players that have really come into their own over the last little bit here. And two players I want to mention specifically, Trevor Zegras and Christian Dvorak, two players that were not on this Flyers team last season, were elsewhere, came in either on a trade or a signing in the offseason, and they played really well. Trevor Zegras is one of the top point getters for Philadelphia, 21 points on the year so far. 7 goals and 14 assists. Dvorak as well. 15 points in 22 games. And again, 21 points in 22 games for Zegras. But overall, it's been a really, really good stretch for both those players who were with the Ducks and the Canadiens, respectively, last season.
The Flyers have looked good this year. You know, it's really great to see Zegras finding his footing again at Philly.
One thing I want to bring up for the Flyers before we move on, Dan Vladar, 14 starts so far this year, 9 wins, 4 losses, 1 in OT, 2.39 goals against, 0.913 save percentage. Great start for him, no?
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know what? He's always had the promise in him. You go back to the 2019-20 season, he led the entire American Hockey League in both goals against average and save percentage. His GAA was 1.79 and his save percentage was 0.936. So
wow.
Dan Vladar always had it in him.
Could we talk about the Canucks for a second? For the Canucks, veteran players on the board? On the trade board? What are our thoughts on that?
outside of Quinn Hughes, if you throw him in the veteran players category.
I don't know about Quinn Hughes. You heard the quote from Jim Rutherford, right?
Yeah.
So the quote I have here is, and this is a direct quote from the Canucks' Jim Rutherford, "I believe Quinn and his agent are aware of the direction we want to go, and they're aware of the direction they want to go." That's what I want to close in on. Two different directions, if you ask me, based on this quote.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's Quinn Hughes is the backbone of this Vancouver Canucks team.
Absolutely.
If they were to ship him out, Elias, what type of return do you think the Canucks would not only ask for, but would be able to get in return?
Boy, I mean, they'd get a really nice sum. They'd get a really nice return because, like, the type of player Quinn Hughes is, the type of leader, the type of defenseman, he's going to get a big haul, no doubt about it. I think it's almost hard to quantify because I can only imagine that a team is going to give them either a lot of prospects, a lot of another great player and some picks in there. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you think, Nick?
If it's New Jersey, yeah, right, to reunite all three Hughes brothers.
Which would be insane. Something nice to see, I think.
Yeah. For me, it's got to be Simone Nemec, Dawson Mercer. Yeah, like Mercer's a great forward. I think he's a great piece. It would be a great opportunity for the Canucks. Okay. Nemec, again, the elite defenseman that you'd hope to at least replace Hughes, right? And then the first is just trying to match up the trade value between the two teams.
Look at a team like the Philadelphia Flyers. If the Flyers were to trade for Quinn Hughes, players which would absolutely have to be part of the package would be either Michkov or Martone. Elias, which of the two do you think Philly would be more willing to grudgingly part ways with? Because two players were, just when you hear their name, you think absolute promise there with regards to their futures.
And again, this is all speculation.
Oh, absolutely. It says a lot about Quinn Hughes as a player when
he's valued so much.
We have to think so deeply about which names would be involved. But which of the two, Elias?
Which of the two would they be like, more likely to give up?
Michkov or Martone?
That's a tough question because they both have a lot of value. Look at the way Michkov is playing, right? A lot of value. Martone is going to bring you a lot of value as well. Which one would they be more like? I don't think they want to give up any of those two players. Like, those are two, if you're asking me, that are probably untouchable.
And outside of probably a first-round pick, which would have to be involved as well, I think one of the Flyers' top center prospects, Jet Luchenko, or Jack Nesbitt would also likely have to be included. So this would be a huge package, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. Regardless of what team that, you know, if a trade does go down, it's a massive package going back the other way. But for me, if you go between Martone and Michkov, it's Martone for me. Michkov's kind of already proven it.
That's
fair.
That
he's an elite goal scorer and he can do it, right?
Let's talk about the Montreal Canadiens. Elias, I want to ask you a question.
Oh, no.
If the Montreal Canadiens, I'm putting you on the hot seat here again.
Oh, no.
If the Montreal Canadiens were to trade for Quinn Hughes, would the Habs have to give up Lane Hudson?
You're really giving me all these hard-hitting questions today. You've eaten your veggies. You've come to the studio. You're ready to go.
I am very ready to go, Elias.
Yes, I think they'd have to give up Lane Hudson. Because, listen, okay, who would you give up, Tolly? Who do you think they would have to give up? If it wasn't Hudson.
I would say you would have to throw in...
There's no way. You can't throw in Caulfield.
You'd probably have to throw in maybe Hague.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe Reinbacher. And probably a first. And gosh, I really hope...
Demidov.
The Habs wouldn't have to give up Jacob Fowler in there as well. Because the reason why I don't think the Habs would want to do that is, given the iffy situation with Montembeau, if you give up Fowler, you're taking too big of a gamble. because look at what the Ottawa Senators did. They paid the big price of giving away Gustafson, who's been stellar with the Wild, and they took that gamble on Cam Talbot, and that didn't work out at all. So giving up Fowler, I would say, would be a no-go. I would say if it wasn't Hudson, it would be probably a first, Rheinbacher, Hagen, and who knows who else. But Nick, is Quinn Hughes the best defenseman in the National Hockey League?
I think he's definitely up there within the top five, for sure.
So do you have a guy like Makar still above Quinn Hughes?
Just slightly.
Slightly.
Just slightly. Yeah, I do.
Nick, where are you at with the Habs?
For me, what if you include a guy like Owen Beck in the trade?
Instead of Haig?
Instead of Haig and Demidov.
Demidov, so no Rheinbacher, okay.
Demidov, Beck, and... maybe Rheinbacher, too.
Oh, and Rheinbacher. Okay, to be honest with you, forget about Fowler because not that he's untouchable. I think the Habs...
That's too important of a goalie prospect to give up.
Absolutely. He's expected to be the future goalie, the star goalie for the Montreal Canadiens. He definitely has that...
The hype, right?
Exactly, yeah. The hype. So Fowler, put Fowler aside. I would rather give up what I said of Hagen, Rheinbacher than Demidov, Rheinbacher, and Beck. Elias, would you agree?
Say that one more time. You'd rather give up...
I would rather not have to give up any of the players. I said Rheinbacher, Haig, probably a first, and then I said Fowler before, but take Fowler out of it now. Nick said, let's say the first, right?
Yeah.
A Rheinbacher, Demidov, and Beck. I don't want to give up Demidov. I really don't.
I don't want to give up Demidov.
Okay, what about without the first? Almost just a three for one swap.
And take out... You know what? You keep the first in mind.
You'd rather give up Hudson for Demidov, right?
No. Hudson's not in this. It's,
no.
It's Haig, okay. Rheinbacher, and a first. And over here, we'll take out the first. It's Demidov, Beck, and Rheinbacher.
I wholeheartedly, totally agree with you. If they could get that deal done, that is a huge win.
I agree.
I'm sorry, Demidov, like... Not to say that your trade is not realistic, because it's honestly more realistic than Toley's. I agree with that.
Taking it from the ice to the court, let's take it over to Chris Paul. And Nick, what is the latest with regards to CP?
Yes, so CP3, Chris Paul, is set to retire. He is going to be retiring at the end of this season. He is calling it a career, and what a historic one at that. Elias, you want to take us through a little bit about Chris Paul and his career?
Take it away, Annie. Your thoughts on Chris Paul.
I'll always remember him for his first time at the Clippers. So many alley-oops, so many dunks.
With Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
Yep. Made them Lob City.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. I mean, I couldn't put that any better myself.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, he had agreed to a one-year deal with the Clippers back in July. I mean, 12-time All-Star. Some of the best years with the Clippers, 2011 to 2017, 5 All-Star selections, 5 All-NBA nods, and 6 first-team All-Defense honors. The Lob City Clippers turned the once lowly franchise around as Paul and Blake Griffin led the team to the second round 3 times. Chris Paul, guys, 40 years old. He made it right till the end of, you know, his career. I feel like we oftentimes see players now retiring a little bit younger, a little bit earlier, you know, in their early to mid 30s. Chris Paul, he made it all the way till 40 years old. Good for him. A legendary player. He has changed the game fundamentally, I think is a good way to put it. And yeah, like Chris Paul, I mean, just a great guy, a great player.
Let's take it from the court now to the gridiron. Elias, now let's take it to the Montreal Caribans, who topped the Saskatchewan Huskies. Interesting side note. It's pretty ironic. We obviously saw the Saskatchewan Roughriders beat the Montreal Alouettes in the Grey Cup, and then the Montreal Caribans beating the Saskatchewan Huskies in the 2025 Vanier Cup. So even Steven there. But Elias, tell us about it.
Yeah, the Caribans, they beat the Saskatchewan Huskies to win. It was a nice kind of just little season finale to close out the year. The Caribans, they beat them 30-16 against the Saskatchewan Huskies, and they've won their second championship in 3 years. And I think what's cool about this is that the Huskies actually played this game, this Vanier Cup final, at Mosaic Stadium in Regina, which is where the Saskatchewan Roughriders play. So it was a nice game to watch overall. A nice, you know, Canadian football. Yeah, congratulations to the Montreal Caravans for winning.
Yeah, you know, it was obviously a great accomplishment for both teams to be in the final. Obviously, took a lot of hard work to get there. But you look at the Montreal Caravans. The program has been in operation since its resurrection in the 2002 football season and has established itself as a provincial and national powerhouse with 6 RSEQ conference championships and 3 national championships in 2014, 2023, and 2025, the latter, which we just mentioned beforehand. So congratulations to the Montreal Caravans and congratulations to the Caravans and the Saskatchewan Huskies for an incredible final and for both teams' seasons.
While we've been focusing on the Caravans, I want to say just how painful this is for Saskatchewan.
Tell us why.
Well, the Huskies haven't won in almost 3 decades at this point. This was their chance to make things right, but they fell short just at the final hurdle. The past year has been incredible for Saskatchewan football, but it seems that the University of Montreal has asserted their dominance once more over them.
Going into the game, did you think there was a realistic chance the Huskies could have come out on top?
Realistic chance? Yes. There's always a chance in these games.
You weren't surprised Montreal got it done?
Yes, I wasn't.
I mentioned powerhouse there before for the Caravans. Do you think that was safe to say? That they've reached that status?
Yes, absolutely. I think the University of Montreal will be known as one of the best football programs in the country for years to come.
Very well said, Anning. Now, let's take it from the gridiron to the diamond.
All right, let's talk about one of the biggest free agent signings we've seen so far in the MLB offseason, and that is the Toronto Blue Jays spending some money and bringing in right-handed pitcher, starting pitcher in Dylan Cease.
Not some money, Nick, a lot of money.
$210 million to be exact, 7-year contract for the right-handed starter. What are our thoughts on this one?
For me, I'll say it very quickly and then I'll pass it over to you, Lies. I love the term. I love the signing. I do not like the money side of things.
That's a hot take. That is a really, really hot take for me.
Well, if hot take, caliente take, call it whatever you want. That's how I feel about it. Elias.
I don't think it's so crazy for you to say that, Tully, because I don't, it's not a bad deal, but it's definitely a little more than we would have thought, right? But
they pushed it a little bit.
They pushed it a little. But you know what? Dylan Cease is a great starting pitcher. He's going to help the team, no doubt about it. And I recall exactly when I found out this happened, just a few nights ago. It was last night at the time of this recording. I was sitting at a friend's apartment. We were getting ready to record something for a class. And his roommate, who's also in our program, comes and just jumps on me. He's like, "Sign Dylan Cease!" And I was like, "What?" And I immediately opened my phone and went to Instagram. I was like, "Holy cow, this is crazy." So an amazing signing in a nutshell. I think it's going to really help this team out.
For me, it's more of a message to the rest of baseball that the Jays are coming off a World Series final, losing to the Dodgers in Game 7, and they're willing to spend money. That's what it is. To me, this is a pure sign that the Jays are saying, okay, we are going to spend what we have to get this team over the hump and win a World Series.
Nick, I get what you're saying there with sending a message. I could start throwing money around too, but then I'd have to take out a line of credit. Cease is durable, occasionally dominant.
Throws a lot of heat though.
But far from consistent. The Jays gave ace money for a non-ace track record.
Let's look at the stats from the last, since 2021. Since 2021, he's had over 200 strikeouts in each of the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons.
A little bit too much money, but I like the risk.
They overpaid by a little bit. I'm not dissing Cease by any means. If I got in the batter's box before I blinked, he would have striked me out already, and I'd be in playing single A.
Are you sure?
No, a lie. I said be 450 to center field. But
I've seen that power, Tolly.
Yeah, I've seen you too, Elias, with your crazy pop-ups. But let's take it now from the diamond to the pitch. It's Anning Zhang time. Anning, it's all you now. Tell us about news from the CPL and the MLS. Take it away.
From the CPL, the biggest news that came out this week was the fact that the Winnipeg's Valor FC, one of the Canadian Premier League's founding teams, is ceasing operations starting next season. We don't know for certain why this is, but we think it has something to do with the fact that the Valor FC's owners are also the owners of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And the Blue Bombers have been around longer, and they are probably the more profitable organization. So the team may be, the ownership team may just be trying to focus on the football team instead of the soccer team. I think it's a shame. I don't think the Valor FC should go under.
All right, Anning, it's time. Let's talk about the Whitecaps. They're making it to the finals, Western Conference Finals.
How hyped are you, and do you think the Whitecaps can keep it going?
Overall, I was somehow more calm during the extra time than I was at the end of the 90th minute, because Sun scored that goal, and I knew instantly if the team could hold on for another half hour, the LAFC mental would crumble and win on penalties. But it sure didn't feel great. The triple post bounce in the 120th minute. I'm reasonably happy with the Whitecaps' chances. I'm not sure. The next match will be tough, going away to San Diego.
Yep, Snapdragon Stadium, yep.
I do love the name, but they've got such a large fan. They've got such a large stadium, so many cheering fans, and the Whitecaps have enjoyed a lot of home field advantages in the postseason.
What's your prediction, Anning? Don't hold back. Tell us.
San Diego did look kind of weak against Minnesota. I'd probably give it to the Whitecaps 2-0.
Really? Prediction for who they would play in the MLS Cup? So who do you have? Is it Inter Miami versus NYCFC?
Messi has just been on such an insane run of form, which you don't see every day for a 37-year-old. But then again, it's Messi.
Do you see that continuing against NYCFC in the Eastern Conference Final?
I don't see why not. Messi's done it against better teams. But I'm sure hoping New York pulls through, because that way we'll be able to see the finals at BC Stadium.
New York! I had to. Now, so let's say it's Inter-Miami-Vancouver final. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but what do you think that would look like, Anning? How would that pan out?
I am so scared of Messi.
Muller wouldn't be.
That's true.
Muller. Right? Legend of the game. Think about it. Do you think that would be Muller's take that game?
Well, when was the last time they met? Oh, my.
2014. I'm sure Messi's still a little bitter about that. Germany beating them in the final.
Doesn't even have to be 2014. 2020.
Yeah.
The A2.
Yeah, you're right, with Bayern and Barca. Do you think if Vancouver were to make the final, somehow, some way, they would find a way to get it done?
I'm hoping they will. I don't think they will.
The way Kawhi Leonard had an impact for the Raptors in a basketball sense, in a soccer sense, has Muller been that X factor for the Whitecaps? If it wasn't for Muller, do you think the way the Whitecaps were before, that they'd already be out right now?
I would see them placing a bit lower in the standings. I'd see them struggling more in the first round. I do think they probably would have lost against LAFC in the quarters again. So there's that. I do think Muller is the X factor.
Anning, I've said it before, I'll say it again. When it comes to soccer, it oozes out of you. So touche to you, buddy. I'm sure we all agree here. You really know your stuff.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today, man. This is great.
Thank you, Tolly. Thank you, Nick.
And Anning, why don't you outro us here?
From all of us here at Spirit Sports, Thank you for listening. We thank Adam Fardella for his contributions. See you next week.